Thanks for the introduction, Grace. I always feel like it's such a privilege to be on the prayer line. Well, last Wednesday, we started a teaching about dreams, and I want to finish it up tonight. Dreams are a normal part of our lives. Dreams can be a spiritual gift that come from God, or dreams can be influenced by the enemy and they can cause fear, or dreams might come just from our own mind. Some think that a Christian's dreams are always influenced by the Holy Spirit, but I just don't think that's true. You know, when I got saved, I didn't stop getting hungry, I didn't stop eating, didn't stop going to the bathroom. Just because I became a Christian, I continued to do all the normal aspects of life. Well, most of our dreams are like that. It's just a normal part of our life with no special meaning or significance. God designed us to go crazy in our dreams and to have those wild, fantastical, sometimes even disturbing dreams. And we do that in our sleep so that we'll remain sane when we're awake. But just because most dreams have no spiritual significance doesn't mean that God doesn't speak to us that way. He does. He uses our dreams to speak to us. And as a matter of fact, last time we talked about different kinds of dreams, and we made the distinction between spiritual dreams and normal dreams. And I said that they're just not the same. Normal dreams are often long and rambling, and you just kind of flash from subject to subject. But spiritual dreams are usually fairly short. They stay on the same subject. Normal dreams are often chaotic. They're incoherent. Spiritual dreams aren't like that. They're usually more ordered. You may not know right away the meaning of a spiritual dream, but it's easy to describe the dream, and it has a logical progression to it if it's a spiritual dream. Normal dreams, for most folks, are difficult to remember. Spiritual dreams are vivid, and they're clearly remembered. Now, some people remember all their dreams, but for most of us, that's not like that. It's only the spiritual dreams that we really remember in a vivid way. Normal dreams might be vivid and well-remembered, too, but that's not common. Now, normal dreams are a mystery, and they may or may not have any meaning or significance. But I tell you, spiritual dreams are sent by the Holy Spirit to accomplish something specific. Now, last time I said that there were basically four types of spiritual dreams, and one is prophetic. The second is dreams that provide guidance for us. The third is dreams that show you something that needs to be healed or dealt with. And then the fourth kind of spiritual dream are spiritual warfare dreams. And we were talking about prophetic dreams when we broke off last time. And I want to finish that up by giving you one more example of a prophetic dream. Debbie and I both have had several prophetic dreams about the end times. And I'm going to tell you a story about one of those dreams that I had. One Saturday night, I dreamed that I was in the Middle East, and I was acting as a project manager for some rebuilding and cleanup work. And there had been some kind of a great disaster, and I was working to reclaim this area of the desert. In the dream, I was directing the work of a bulldozer. And on that bulldozer was a man from the church that we were attending at the time. At that point, the dream ended. Well, immediately, when the dream ended, I knew that was a prophetic dream, that what God was showing me prophetically was one of the things that I was going to be doing during the millennium, during the millennial reign of Jesus on this earth. Well, the fact that it was about what I'd be doing in the millennium isn't the best part of this story. Listen to what happened the next day. The next morning is Sunday morning, right? We go to church, and as we're going into the church, I see this guy who's in my dream. And I called out to him and said, "Hey, I dreamed about you last night." And immediately he said, "Oh, yeah, we were working in the desert in the millennium, weren't we?" And I said, "Yeah. So what were you doing?" He said, "I was driving a bulldozer and you were telling me what to do." Now, you don't usually get that kind of immediate, clear confirmation about your dreams, right? But it's completely clear that I had had a prophetic dream. That's cool, isn't it? So some dreams can be prophetic. Some dreams, however, are more for our guidance. Turn to Matthew 1, and we'll start in verse 18. These are the scriptures that talk about when Jesus was born and when this angel appears to Joseph. Let's skip over verse 20. He was considering putting away Mary when he figures out that she's pregnant. And he has a dream. in this dream, an angel appeared to him and said, Joseph, son of David, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for that which has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she'll bear a son, and you'll call his name Jesus, for it's he who will save his people from their sins. Now, all this took place so that what the prophet said could be fulfilled. And it goes on to talk about a virgin being born and talks about how Joseph had no relations with Mary until he was born, and then they named him Jesus. Well, Joseph has a dream of an angel speaking to him about Mary and Jesus. This is an example of a spiritual dream that comes to us for guidance. I'll tell you a story about that happened to us. A man had fallen gravely ill. He was in the hospital. And a family that knew this fellow was part of our church, and they asked him to pray for him, and we'd been praying for him. Well, Debbie was taking a nap one afternoon, and the Lord showed her this man in a dream. Now, he was laying in the bed in the hospital at this time, but in this dream, she sees him. He's at the edge of a lake of fire. He was about to go to hell. And in this dream, the Lord told Debbie, said, go right now to the hospital and pray to raise this guy up like Lazarus. That was a spiritual dream, see, to guide Debbie so she would know clearly to go to the hospital and pray for this guy, which she did. Tell you another story about guidance. And again, this is something that happened to my wife. We had a lady in our church who was struggling with a husband who is addicted to drugs. Now, at the time, we knew that their marriage was kind of testy, but we really didn't know what was going on with all the addictions and everything. And this woman was trying to keep up appearances of a normal Christian life. But her husband, he was bringing his drug buddies into the house. He was stealing stuff out of the house and selling it for drug money. If you've had any friends or relatives addicted, you know what that's like. Well, one night, Debbie had a dream about this lady. And she dreamed that this lady's house was being filled with bat guano. You know what guano is? That's bat droppings or bat waste. So anyway, this lady was trying to sweep up the guano and get rid of it, but as soon as she'd stopped sweeping, well, the bats would come right back and fill the house up again. So Debbie calls this lady, and she describes this dream to this lady. The lady knew immediately what the dream was about. She confessed what was going on in her family. She knew that the Lord was telling her, was guiding her to bar her husband from the house. In his addicted state, she realized he's dangerous for our family. And she did that, and that was what the Lord did her to do. So Debbie had a dream, and the spiritual dream wasn't for Debbie's guidance, but it was for the guidance of this other person. That's a spiritual dream for guidance. With this person, you know, it told her her husband was endangering their family. It told her what to do about it. Now, that's the second kind of spiritual dream. A third kind of spiritual dream is the kind when the Lord is showing you something that needs to be healed or dealt with in your life. To me, this is a wonderful tool that the Lord uses to help us with inner healing. This has happened several times, both to me and to Debbie, that the Lord will give us dreams that bring to the surface, that bring up to our thinking some kind of inner wound or trauma that needs to be dealt with. You know how we can get hurt and wounded on the inside? People say things, or they do things, or they betray us. And it hurts. It hurts just as much as any cut or any burn would hurt. But it's a hurt down on the inside of us. And these kinds of hurts are easy for us to just bury and try to forget about. We want to forget about them because they hurt. We don't like that. But if we leave them down on the inside of us, then they'll fester. They're going to create poison. They'll cause all kinds of trouble for us. And we don't even know that the inner wound is the culprit of all the trouble that we're going through. And so it needs to be brought up to the surface so that we can deal with it and so the Lord can heal us. Also, we've prayed with folks for inner healing, and it's not uncommon then for the Lord to use dreams later to show these people where the wounds are, where the traumas are. He gives the person a dream, one of these kind of spiritual dreams, to illuminate that area of need, and then he can lead them through a process to deal with it and to heal them. Tell you another story on my wife about this. She was having dreams about guilt. Debbie and I had been praying for inner healing, and one night Debbie woke me up, and she said she'd had a very disturbing dream, probably one of those kind of emotional dreams that we talked last time. But this dream wasn't about something fictional. This dream was about something that she had done, something that wasn't very nice. And she woke up feeling icky. She was feeling guilty about what she had done. And she hadn't thought about this in years. She thought it was buried. She thought that the guilt from her actions were buried and gone, but they weren't. And it was alive and well deep down on the inside of her. So when she woke up from this dream, she heard the Lord say to her, pray that the guilt will be gone. And so she woke me up. She told me what was going on. And she asked me to pray with her that the guilt from these actions would leave her. You see how this works? God has to bring these destructive emotions up to the surface of our thinking before we can deal with them. And then when he brings the destructive emotions up to the surface, you have to release those. You have to give them up to the Lord. You have to let go of them and then ask him to heal you from those emotions. When the Lord takes you through this process, he doesn't remove the memories. The memories are still there. They're intact. You remember what happened. But he removes the guilt. He removes the destructive emotions that are associated with that, like the guilt in Debbie's case. And so you remember it, but you don't have those bad emotions associated with it. Well, this kind of thing happened every night to Debbie, sometimes more than once, for several nights in a row. She would have a dream about something she had done and felt guilty about. She'd wake up, and then she'd wake me up, and she'd release what she had done. She would give those feelings of guilt up to the Lord, and then we'd pray, and he would remove the guilt and heal her. And he did that. It was really a most liberating time for Debbie. And it all came through a spiritual dream that was given in order to show her an area of healing that was needed. Okay, now the last kind of dream is kind of a weird one. I call it a spiritual warfare dream. This kind of dream, sometimes I wonder about. Debbie and I have had these kinds of dreams. I know that Grace has had dreams like this, but I'm still not 100% sure just exactly how they work. I still have some questions of my own. But I'm pretty sure that they are spiritual dreams and that they are accomplishing things in the spirit. Let me give you an example. I had a dream not too long ago, and I found myself in this dream. I was in a church kind of meeting, and a guy comes into the room, and the Holy Spirit, through the gift of discerning of spirits, says to me, that guy is demonized. So I go over to him, I begin to pray for him, and as I pray, the demons within him begin to manifest. And he starts shouting, he starts cursing. And in this dream, I began to take authority over Satan and those demons, and in the name of Jesus, began to drive out those demons. And as soon as this guy was delivered from those demons, I woke up. The dream was very real. I never met this guy. I don't know who he is or where he's from, but I believe that God had me praying for him in that dream so that he could be delivered somehow, somewhere, from the grip of Satan. Others I know have had these kind of dreams, but they knew who they were praying for sometimes, and they knew that in real life I needed deliverance, and so they're praying deliverance in their dreams. It seems like this is a kind of, I guess you'd call it intercessory prayer. But when we intercede in this way, we're actually doing direct battle with the enemy and his demonic forces. Now, why would the Lord have us praying deliverance prayers in our dream? Why not just lead us to do that when we're awake? I don't know. I don't know the answer to those questions, but I'm pretty sure that this kind of spiritual dream actually does spiritual warfare and actually defeats the enemy and brings people to a place that they can be delivered. Okay, so that's the four kinds of spiritual dreams. They're more than that, but that's the four major ones that I want to talk about tonight. What I want to spend the rest of the time now on is interpreting spiritual dreams. Let's finish up by talking about how you might interpret spiritual dreams. Listen, if the Lord gives you a dream, then he must want you or someone else to know what it means, right? I believe that interpretations of dreams is the companion gift to spiritual dreams. It's sort of like tongues and interpretation in a church service. You know, if somebody interrupts a church service with a message in tongues, then you expect someone in that service to have the interpretation. Remember, we're talking here about spiritual gifts. The dream was a spiritual gift from the Holy Spirit to you, so the interpretation is also a spiritual gift to you. A spiritual gift comes from the Holy Spirit, and it accomplishes what no human could do by themselves. Turn to Genesis 37. And we're going to talk about a few categories, make it easy to talk about interpretations, put it in some categories. And I'm going to talk about three different categories of interpretations. One is when the interpretation is obvious. There's no spiritual gift needed. Category two is when a dream is given to an unbeliever, then a spirit-filled Christian needs to interpret that dream for them. And then the third category of interpretation is when a Christian has a spiritual dream, I think they need to seek the Lord for that interpretation so that the Lord gives them the interpretation. Let's start with the first one. The interpretation's obvious, so no spiritual gift is needed. Genesis 37, starting in verse 5, where Joseph has two dreams. Starting in verse 5, it says, Joseph had a dream. When he told his brothers, they hated him for it. And he said to them, please listen to this dream which I had. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf rose up and also stood erect. And behold, your sheaves gathered around and bowed down to my sheaf. Then the brothers said, are you actually going to reign over us? And so they hated him because of his dreams and his words. And then he had another dream. And this time he tells the dream not just to his brothers, but to his parents as well. He says, lo, I have had still another dream, and behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars were bowing down to me. And he tells his father and his brothers, and they really get upset. His dad says, am I and your mother and your brothers actually going to bow down to you before the ground? The dad's obviously upset, but listen, in verse 11, the verse ends by saying that his father kept the saying in his mind. In other words, the father was thinking, there might be something to this. I wonder about this dream that my son has had. And I think there's two things that we can get out of this scripture tonight, at least for what we're talking about. And that's, first of all, that most spiritual dreams have a meaning that's obvious to us. And second of all, just because you had a dream or just because you know the interpretation to the dream, that doesn't mean you're supposed to tell anybody. Joseph might have been better off if he'd have kept this to himself. You know, some spiritual dreams are obvious about what they mean. Several years ago, Debbie had three prophetic dreams in three nights, and they were all about the end time. And in the last dream, she walked up to the mantle of our fireplace in her house, and there was a bust on the fireplace, you know, a statue of a bearded old gentleman, and he had a fork in one hand and a spoon in the other. And when Debbie got up close to that bust, it became animated, and it said, behold, the wedding feast of the Lamb is at hand. And Debbie woke up. Well, I mean, that's a spiritual dream, and the interpretation's obvious. Jesus is coming back soon. Get ready. The other thing, like I said, that we learn from Joseph's dream is that just because you had a dream or just because you know the interpretation of a dream doesn't mean you're supposed to tell anybody. This is just like any other revelation kind of spiritual gift. Sometimes the Lord reveals something to you supernaturally, and he wants you to proclaim what you know. But sometimes he wants you to keep it to yourself. He wants you to use that revelation to inform your own prayers and intercessions on behalf of whatever he's revealing to you. Turn to Daniel 2. Let's look at the second kind of dream. This is the one where an unbeliever has a dream, and he needs a spirit-filled Christian to interpret it. Daniel 2, starting in verse 1, we see the story of Nebuchadnezzar here. Now, in the second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar had dreams, and his spirit was troubled, and his sleep left him. Obviously, Nebuchadnezzar is having some disturbing dreams. I'm sure that many of those dreams were just normal dreams. They were disturbing him because he wasn't at peace with himself. He was probably doing some awful things. But anyway, it goes on to say he gave orders to his magicians and conjurers and sorcerers, they were called Chaldeans, to tell the king his dreams. So they came in and stood before the king, and the king said, I had a dream, my spirit is anxious, and I want to understand the dream. And then the Chaldean spoke and said, O king, live forever. You just tell us your dream and we'll give you an interpretation. And the king says, whoa, no, hold it, boys. The command is like this. If you don't make known to me the dream and its interpretation, then I'm going to tear you limb from limb and your houses are going to become like a rubbish heap. But if you declare the dream and its interpretation, then you're going to receive all kinds of great gifts and great rewards and honor, etc. But you got to declare to me both the dream and the interpretation. I love to watch people come to the kingdom of God, especially related to dreams. I've watched folks, they come into the kingdom, they begin to serve God, they begin to get strong in the Lord, they begin to get trained and discipled. And you can watch them as they talk about their dreams. When they first come into the kingdom of God, their dreams are just like Nebuchadnezzar's. They're troubled because their lives are troubled. But after a few years of becoming more and more Christ-like and getting their life and family in order, their dreams become more peaceful. Matter of fact, may become totally peaceful. Poor old King Nebuchadnezzar probably had some serious junk going on in his life. But that didn't keep the Lord from speaking to him in a spiritual dream. If you go on in Daniel 2, go down to verse 29 in the story, we pick up where Daniel goes before the king to tell the king about his dream. And he says, "As for you, O king, while on your bed, your thoughts turn to what would take place in the future. And he, God, who reveals mysteries, has made known to you what will take place. But as for me, this mystery has not been revealed to me for any wisdom residing in me." In other words, Daniel is saying, this interpretation I'm about to give you, king, it's a spiritual gift. It doesn't come from me. It doesn't come from my knowledge or my abilities. It comes direct from God, and I'm going to give it to you. And so he goes on and he tells the king what his dream was, and then he interprets the dream for him. And I think there's several things we can learn from this story. First of all, that non-believers need a believer to interpret their dreams for them. Second, if you are a Christian, and especially if you're spirit-filled, I believe that generally you shouldn't need someone to interpret your dreams for you. And we'll talk about that in a minute. The next thing I think we learn from this is that an interpretation to a spiritual dream is just as much a spiritual gift as the spiritual dream itself. That means that the interpretation comes completely from the Holy Spirit. It's not from what the interpreter thinks about the dream. And you know what? If you want to make sure that you're getting a Holy Spirit interpretation to a spiritual dream, then tell the person offering the interpretation that you also want them to tell you the dream. And I can tell you that you're going to get a lot less folks who are willing to give you an interpretation. But when they do, man, it's not going to be wrong. It's going to be right from God, and you'll know it. But anyway, if an unbeliever has a dream and you can tell him both the dream and the interpretation, then it's going to be just like it was with King Nebuchadnezzar here. They'll know for sure that you've heard from God, and they'll know God speaking to them. If somebody asks you to interpret their dream, you may or may not get an interpretation. We don't learn this necessarily directly from this story, but I can tell you that it's true. If somebody asks you to interpret a dream and you don't get an interpretation that you're sure about, don't worry. Either their dream wasn't from God anyhow, it wasn't a spiritual dream, or God doesn't want you delivering an interpretation, at least not at this time. The last thing we learn from this story, I think, is that if God gives you an interpretation, it's going to be clear, it's going to be concise, and it's going to be meaningful to the person who had the dream. If you're asking God for an interpretation to your own dream, you'll know when the Lord has given you that interpretation because it's going to be clear and concise, just like Daniel's interpretation was here. It's going to speak to your heart, and it may or may not be an interpretation that you were thinking of before. You know, it may not be something that you necessarily expected. So the last thing, third category of interpreting spiritual dreams, and that's when a Christian has a spiritual dream. If you're a Christian, especially a spirit-filled Christian, and you have a spiritual dream, then the dream will either have an obvious interpretation or it's not going to be obvious. If the interpretation is not obvious, then I think that the hidden nature of that dream is done on purpose by God, because the Lord wants you to seek him for the interpretation. Turn to Luke chapter 2 and verse 19. This is not specifically about dreams, but it's about a concept of holding things in our heart and holding them before the Lord and seeking them. This is talking about Mary. Luke 2 and 19 says, "But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart." You know, the Lord generally spoke to Mary through visions and prophets, not dreams, but the principle is the same. When Mary heard a word from the Lord, she kept those words in her heart and she pondered them. That means that she wondered what they meant. That means that she sought God about these things and she wanted to know exactly what this meant and why. Turn back to Daniel 10. We'll see where Daniel did this. Daniel 10 and verse 12. I know I'm just picking out this one verse of this story. You can go back and read the story. It's a great story. An angel shows up at Daniel's house and says to Daniel, "Do not be afraid, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart on understanding this and on humbling yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come in response to your words." Daniel had been fasting and praying for 21 days. Daniel said, "I want to know what happens in the end times. I want to know, God, what you're going to do." And he starts seeking God about this and fasted and prayed for 21 days. And then eventually the angel shows up and says, "I have come here because you are interested in knowing these things. You have set your heart to knowing these things, and God wants to reveal them to you." he was seeking God because he wanted to know what was happening in the end times, just like you might be seeking God, wondering what the interpretation might be to a spiritual dream that you've been having. Hopefully you won't have to seek the Lord for 21 days, but I can tell you I've had to seek the Lord longer than that sometimes before my mind and heart were open enough to hear what the Lord had to say. You know, Daniel had read the writings of the prophets, and he didn't understand them. Now, did he seek advice from the prophets? No. Daniel went right to the source of knowledge and wisdom and understanding. Daniel sought God, and he said, God, I want to hear this directly from you. I'm convinced that this is what Christians are supposed to do when they have a spiritual dream. And the interpretation to that dream, if it eludes you, that's because God wants you to fast. He wants you to pray. He wants you to seek him and hear his voice. Turn to John 10, the Gospel of St. John, chapter 10. Let's talk about seeking God for an interpretation. John 10, verses 3 through 5. Jesus says these words. He says, to him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. When he puts forth all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, because they know his voice. And a stranger, they simply will not follow, but will flee from him, because they do not know the voice of a stranger. Jesus said that his sheep know his voice. Generally, if the Lord gives us a spiritual dream, if he gives that to a spirit-filled Christian, then that Christian should also receive from the Lord the interpretation of that dream. Now, you may not get the interpretation right away. You may have to seek the Lord for that interpretation. But in seeking, you're going to get a deeper walk with your Savior. You're going to learn better how to hear his voice. James chapter 4 and verse 8. James chapter 4 and verse 8 says, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. The Lord wants you to seek him. The Lord wants you to draw close to him. He wants you close. He wants you to be so close that you can hear his voice. But just like any other relationship, that takes time, it takes effort, it takes intimate time, it takes time both speaking and listening to him. Now, am I saying that you should never ask another spirit-filled Christian about a dream that you've had? No, I'm not saying that. But whatever that other person says to you about an interpretation of a dream, that should be confirmation of what you have already heard from the Holy Spirit. If you haven't heard from the Holy Spirit yet, you need to keep seeking him about that. He'll speak to you. He wants you to know his voice. Okay, so let's wrap this up. We all have dreams, and most of our dreams are just normal dreams. They're not from God. They're not influenced by the devil. They don't have any special significance or interpretation. They're just dreams. But there's a whole category of spiritual gifts that show up in the form of visions, spiritual dreams, and interpretations of dreams. When God gives you a spiritual dream, seek him and ask him to give you the interpretation to that dream.